Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, Ken Evans, and Sean Desay covering the world of mixed martial arts. As we talked about this week, very, very busy. We had UFC on Fox on Saturday. On Tuesday, The Ultimate Fighter returned with Jon Jones and Chael Sonnen. There had been some speculation in the internet community about all the changes that were made. Dana White assured you, like he does every year, that this would be the best season that you've ever seen in your entire life. However, this year, over the 18-year span, he didn't lie in season one, and he didn't lie in season 18. As Tuesday night, I thought it was the best that show has ever been.
Oh, here's the thing, Eric. It caught me a little off guard because it was on at 8 o'clock for the first time in forever,
yeah,
right?
Because it was a two-hour premiere.
Right, which they do. And then what is on after this on FX? It was, I think, Justified. So, yeah, it was leading into a big rated show, and it caught me off guard. So it's on the DVR. I had programmed the DVR. I haven't seen it yet, though, so you're saying I should give this one a chance.
I'm telling you, and Sean, jump in if you disagree with me. I was, from the opening of that show, I was hooked for two straight hours.
Yeah, I was pretty hooked. The only thing I didn't like is what we talked about earlier was the families. Being there is okay, I guess, when they're fighting, but like I got really kind of bored with them crying
with
all
the
time. Yeah, you know.
At
like,
one point, I did call it crying and punching because it does like there
I
was
mean,
like a
they're crying 1 minute and then they're fine. The
yeah,
next.
There was a moment in the middle that it was a lot of crying and punching.
And whenever a grown ass man cries, I always laugh. You know, football players, fighters, when they cry, like
Ray Lewis. Oh, I'm sorry,
but what's his name? Pat Barry.
Yes.
He's got the ugliest face when he cries.
Yeah, he's got a really terrible cry
face.
And there was a couple guys on this season that have a really ugly cry face, but they use it a lot for storytelling. There was a couple times, spoiler alert, Ken, since you're a week late in watching it.
Sorry.
A lot of times when the crying and punching happens, clearly the guy that's crying is going to lose because he's got everything on the line and everything matters.
Yeah.
And so that happened a lot. But I loved the way that they shot it.
It was great.
I thought there was a lot of great shots. They did a lot of great storytelling. Chael Sonnen is as funny as you think he's going to be. Jon Jones is very interesting as he's clearly.
He's kind of naive because I don't think he really sees what Chael's doing to him. Chael's like a mastermind.
I did see the first 5 minutes because I want to make sure I set the DVR and I got to watch it for a second. But at our home base here, we've got 8 feet of snow, so I was shoveling all night too.
Right.
I did see that at the very beginning where Jon Jones made that statement about having to remember he's fighting Chael Sonnen, and that seemed very naive, like you said.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's anybody else on this ever show that's forgotten they're going to fight the guy, and Chael clearly knows the whole time. So, I mean, is he going to get sucked in? Is he going to be Chael's buddy by the end of this thing? What's happening?
I mean, in the start of the 2 hours, as you saw, he walks up, shakes his hand, says it's really nice to see you.
Starts talking to him about the motorcycle.
You
never been on one of these? Right. Come on, man. Let's sit on this.
Yeah,
get feel for
it. He's
back to back.
He is the consummate salesperson, and he just sucks him in. It's like watching the MMA version of The Usual Suspects. You know, like all of a sudden Kaiser Soze is going to show up and he will have masterminded the crime of the century. On the other hand, I think Jones has grown into his TV personality. I mean, he was kind of mugging at the camera a little bit at Chael and has taken on the role of I'm going to show you what I want to do. And by that, I mean there's a couple points in the first show that he's coaching people that weren't on his team, that he clearly wanted on his team.
Right.
You know, he's like, I'm going to give you, Chael, I'm going to give all my tells, my poker tells, if you will. These are the guys I want. I'm going to coach them to win. At one point, there's a guy who's throwing those the post elbows, and Jon is coaching him.
Are you guys ready for this?
Right. And Chael leans over and goes, hey, Jon, you got a vested interest in this fight or what? Because he's like coaching the one guy, not coaching the other. But it was
He was a training partner for four camps.
But like there's nine guys that he trained with.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It was a great night of fights. I don't know what the season's going to look like. I'm praying to the sweet lords of mixed martial arts that there isn't any of the stupid punking and that sort of stuff that happens. If they could
get rid of the door, survive.
There was no destruction of the door. Nobody went to the bathroom on anything, which was awesome. and nobody stole any food. And that was 2 whole hours. So
here's the thing. You make an interesting point there, especially with the fights. I remember watching, I believe it was the Mayhem Bisping season opener. And I loved the show at that point, but damn, once they got in the house, it just fell apart quick.
And we'll find out this week if that's what's going to happen. But they have shot it more like ESPN 30 and 30. You know, it's got that documentary.
A film feel?
Yeah, it's got that film and that documentary feel to it. And the way
and
that
it's not live, so that helps out a lot.
Yeah, and so it's got a feel to it like they're telling a story. And
well, you have to imagine that after that first season, I know they tried the live experiment on FX. You've got to imagine that Fox said, okay, We know you guys have done this and are good at this, but why don't we have a couple guys tell you what to do or work with you on this? Because if the show's got an entirely different feel, I've got to imagine Fox has some hand in that.
If Fox does, it's more from, if I had to guess, it's more from the NFL films universe, because it's kind of got that feel mixed with any sort of Road to or Countdown to that the UFC does. That's exactly what the show feels like to me. Like when you're doing a countdown to who's going to be in the Super Bowl, it looks like that, and it looks like here the Road to UFC on Fox 7 or whatever. Yeah. It's got that kind of countdown feel to it.
Yeah, and they've got guys in-house that can do great things, and sometimes, you know, you just have to have somebody giving you different ideas, and maybe sometimes you have to take a bath, which they did in the Friday night edition of The Ultimate Fighter, to say, you know, we're really going to have to work this thing out. I like the Tuesday shift in timing. I think that's going to be great for DVR watching. It's on my DVR. It, you know, it doesn't get buried because it's on a Friday night after worth of stuff.
You have violated the DVR rule.
Right. But, well, yeah. I may have violated it, but it's still sitting there. Now,
sure.
If it were to come on tonight, it'd be coming in after all the crap that has already been on there all week. So it's got a nice spot there. Now that I've heard good things, I'll go check it out.
1.5 million viewers for night number one. Like I said, we will find out this week, Sean, if it kind of holds its own as we head into episode two. And then, of course, tomorrow night in Chicago, the UFC on Fox returns. Demetrius Johnson and John Dodson go for the flyweight championship. Demetrius defending, John Dodson, tough winner, unblemished in the UFC, looks to get that strap around his waist. A fascinating stat about John Dodson that you will love, Sean Desay.
Knockdowns. He has ADHD.
He does not have ADHD. Oh, he might. Yeah. Knockdowns per minute. He has more knockdowns per minute than the average heavyweight in the UFC.
At flyweight.
At flyweight.
Wow.
This is a dude who hits really hard.
The heaviest division.
And
that's cool.
That's been my big bugaboo with this division. And I love watching these fights. Demetrius Johnson, I like that this is a title fight on Fox, even if they won't tell us how much they weigh in any of their promos. And it's a situation where that's been my big thing with the weight division. I kind of enjoy watching the fights, and there's a lot of scrambling in some of them. But some of them look more like exhibitions because it doesn't seem like anybody can knock anybody out or down. And if this guy's got that type of rate and he can go in there and show something, that's going to be great not only for himself but for this division on a big stage like Fox.
Well, I think now you're going to see a little bit of a different pace with the flyweights because it was fairly new and you had all these guys that were trying to get to that title final match. And I think now that we've established and we've got people where they need to be, people are just going to go for like all the other divisions. So, you know, now you have a champion. Here comes a challenger. Here they go. And then you got other guys who, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like they've gone for it. I just didn't feel like anybody had the power or the execution to do
it. I think they were playing it safe until they can actually find out, you know, where everyone's going to be. You know, because remember when they opened the division, it was kind of like tournament style. Like, all right, here we go. So you had guys that were like, well, I'm going to fight to win as opposed to, you know, actually going out there.
Fight for points, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope you see that. The problem with your theory, Ken, is you on the show are the guy that Dana White is a little gruff towards with this division. You know, he says if you don't like the flyweights, then you don't like fighting because of the skill set that they bring.
They do cover every element
in MMA.
Holy
cow, do they. But
from boxing to ground, jits, takedown.
Yeah, but I've never disliked it.
No.
You can't make me like it more than a fight where you're going to see a fight like where Gabriel Gonzalez catches Ben Rothwell in a guillotine.
Sure.
Two big heavyweights fighting in there, and there's a finish to the fight.
The problem with this fight that might disappoint you is neither one of these guys have ever been finished.
Yeah, it could go all five rounds.
So 25 minutes of this on national television.
You know, so they may get booed again, and that's the problem with this division, that they've got to build into the fact that, look, much like when you see Floyd Mayweather fight for 12 rounds and he doesn't put his opponent away, but you still pay $60 to see him every time.
Yeah.
That's because, and honest, I'm not joking, just because we're based in West Michigan, I think most people pay to see Floyd Mayweather lose. They're waiting to see him lose at this point.
Yeah, sure.
And we don't have a bad guy in the light flyweight division.
We do have a bad guy, though, as the co-main event, is Quentin Rampage Johnson Jackson. He's got two losses heading into his final bout in the UFC as he looks to go try boxing or whatever he decides on this week, taking on Glover Teixeira, who has not lost in the last 7 years. Now, he is on the older side of the fighters in the UFC, but he is a one-man wrecking machine that I know Sean and I are anxious to see this fight out of the way and get him in the sights of one John Jones.
Yeah, well, even if he beats Rampage, I still think he has, like, another fight or two. Like, I wouldn't – that would be good between him and Vitor if Vitor really wanted to get
– Right.
Yeah, that would be a good striking match right
there. Oh, man, poor Glover Teixeira. He's getting caught in that Chris Weidman net, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He certainly is.
And I don't think he needs more fights after this. If he's able to win convincingly over Rampage Jackson, I think he should be in that title hunt, but we've already got him pushed back now because either Chal's going to fight him or – maybe Vitor, depending on if somebody falls out of that Ultimate Fighter coaching
right
spot. I just think he's automatically kind of sliding down the line. I don't know what he does after this fight. You say Belfort. Is there anybody who's actually in that division right now? It's kind of hard. A lot of guys, 185, 205, have been bouncing around so much, and they're top-level guys that are doing it.
Yeah, well, we also got to see what happens with Rashad and Little Nog, and if Rashad wants to stay 205.
And Machida and Henderson. And there's like a million things going on that certainly puts him in that.
He just keeps getting knocked back and knocked back.
Like they should buy a house together, and they can live, and the first person who gets the title shot can move out or whatever.
Right.
Sean, any chance – That every fighter has a chance,
yeah.
But any chance that Rampage gets out of this with a win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they stick to just standing and no kicks and no knees and just straight up boxing and they toe-to-toe, yeah, I can see Rampage finishing it. Yeah. It also, you know, I like to say that, but I usually I'm better at my predictions when I see them after their weight cuts. Then you can really tell who's actually coming in shape. But
well,
yeah.
Because, yeah.
But as styles go right now, as far as these two guys.
That's a good point, you know, with Rampage, too.
Yeah, because if he's not motivated, you.
Yeah, if
you
he's
know.
Not motivated, then he'll be like, I hate to say this, but like BJ Penn.
Yep.
A non-motivated BJ Penn sucks. I mean, you don't want to see that guy
and
fight.
I just what you wonder what goes on in his head. You know, we've had him on a number of times. He's great to talk to. He's great to the fans. It can't be understated how great he is to the fans. However, to the business, it depends on which dude wants to show up. You know, if he's fixed in his mind that he wants to leave the UFC with a win,
yeah,
he can be a very dangerous opponent on Saturday night. If he's fixed in his mind that he is tired of this and wants out, I think Glover will have his way with him. Now,
I think it sounds more like the latter, though, if you want to listen to the interviews he's done over the past couple weeks, and it's been fairly well noted that Rampage has said this is his last fight. He's talked about UFC not treating fighters well. He said a lot of things, and he hasn't said them with that fire that you alluded to in that statement saying, I want to go out with a win. He said them in that way where I'm done with this. Nobody's treating me right. Fighters shouldn't even be here. I'll take less money to go elsewhere. I mean, the cues that we've heard from him have not said that this may be the most motivated Rampage Jackson. We'll see a lot at the weigh-in, though.
Yeah.
Do you think he goes to Bellator, or what do you think? He's talked about boxing, but don't you think Bellator would probably be a better home for him?
Bellator should go get him if he's
available.
Yeah,
Bellator should go get him, but I, you know, boxing, man, you know, it's
you really? Boxing.
I didn't say it.
Unless he's going to fight Kimbo right off the bat.
Right.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys. I mean, he hits big, but he's not fast. He's never been that
fast.
Well,
boxing is I'm sure you guys know, but you know, for those people who are listening right now, it's a complete different fighting style.
Mm-hmm.
Most guys that come and they train with me after a while, it's the funniest thing. After we do like 6 or 7 rounds of boxing sparring, they'll say, well, why are my legs more tired than kickboxing? I'm like, well, because in boxing, you do like that squat motion. You're looping and rolling.
You should be moving the whole time.
You're moving. And so, yeah, your legs do, especially whichever, you know, if it's your right leg, that's your rear leg. Your power leg really burns. Your calf muscle is shot, you know. And, to transition right over, I mean, you really got to change your stance. You got to change everything. And now you only have 2 weapons to really deal with.
And his weapons, while Ken said they were very powerful.
They're powerful, but
they're
the
not
speed.
Very skilled.
Yeah, the
they're
speed's not
very skilled.
They're not fast. I mean, and we see this a lot. When we see an unmotivated Rampage, we see a flat-footed Rampage.
And a lot of his fights are flat-footed.
And
he would be
annihilated in boxing flat-footed. I think that's all a ruse. I think he threw that out there. I think what makes the most sense for him is to do something with Bellator, work on some type of, I don't know if you call it a Legends deal or a UFC deal, or where you're going to get guys with name
right.
that really might not even compete in your division, even with the fighters you have. Hell, you're in the Viacom family. You want to do that acting thing. Maybe you get a crappy Spike show.
Or A-Team 2.
He can go hang out with King Mo.
Right, yeah. I mean, 1,000 Ways to Die.
Are they friends now?
I don't know.
They're on again, off
again. They made up or
something?
Something
like that.
Whatever.
All right, also on the card, Anthony Pettis wants that title shot back. He obviously lost it in the Ultimate Fighter finale where he had to fight Clay Guida before before he could meet the champ. So he's been fighting back because he's been stuck in that weird 155 universe. And the UFC clearly doesn't care, as they've given him Donald Cerrone, who is no joke and is on quite the tear himself.
But this should be good news, a real number one contender match.
Yes.
I would think either of these guys wins, they're going to get the winner of the title fight that
night. But I feel like that Anthony Pettis has been the bridesmaid for far too long. You know, and he's going to have to wait, obviously, till February 2nd when when's the next time Benson fights? I don't even know. Whenever Benson fights again.
Henderson Edgar?
No.
Is that what we're looking at?
Aldo Edger.
Sorry. Can we do Henderson Edgar again, Sean?
No, we're not going to do that again.
We want that rematch.
You know, so even if he wins, he's got some time to wait till they figure out what they're going to do with him. But to me,
because Henderson's fighting Gilbert Melendez.
Yes, so he's fighting Gil whenever that's going to happen.
That's 420.
There you go. I got it.
Diaz
now.
Brothers.
Yes.
Is that how you have to remember
that's
it?
Remember it.
MMA math 209 to 420 to yes.
To title shot.
So he's got to wait for that, and this is to me. Cerrone right now is on fire and not an easy opponent at all.
You know, Cerrone is another like Kenny Florence situation, totally on fire. Then when he gets to like a tighter title eliminator fight, he like when he fought Nate Diaz, that wasn't the Cerrone that we're used to seeing.
But he seems motivated this week, and he doesn't like Pettis, and he wants to get this behind him.
You think he liked Nate Diaz? He gave him the bird and everything, man. They were doing their—
I know, but the thing with the Diaz brothers is they can suck you into fights that you can't
win. Look, I want Cerrone to win. You know, I really do. But I like Pettis, you know, just as much. And I've never seen Pettis lack or, you know, like pull back his skills. When he fought Guida, that was a bad fight, honestly. But he always comes to fight. I've seen Cerrone show up and not fight before. So I'm going to lean a little bit towards Pettis on this one. And because I do want to see that awesome ninja kick. You know, that's a bad kick.
And, you know, when you're on Fox, you may want to pull that out, you know.
Showtime, right?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
All right. When we come back, Demetrius Johnson, the champ, will be here. We will break down news. It is Way of the Warrior on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show.